He kidnapped young girls and kept them chained to give blood. Blood for her to bathe in and drink.
She bit them everywhere.
No.
And then she pushed white hot pokers into their faces. And when they parted their lips to scream, she shoved the flaming rod up into their mouth.
Stop it.
Blood. Beautiful red.
Stop it!
Back once again for episode 53.
Countess Elizabeth Bathory.
Yes, this was a request. Wasn't Veronica, didn't Veronica request this?
I don't remember.
I can't remember, but somebody requested a while back and we said we would do it. And I was like, man, I didn't even think about that. And this is like a really great topic.
It's a good topic. I haven't looked into this in a long time, but I read some books on it.
It's a good topic because there's still like a lot of controversy about her that will probably never be resolved.
Yeah.
Because a lot of the original records from the time do not exist anymore.
Yeah, that's the problem with Countess Bathory, is separating fact from fiction. A lot of it's legendary.
But I don't think all of it is, though.
No. There is some source material. But you can tell that story as we go.
Yeah.
All right, let's do our shout-outs and take care of house cleaning here.
Okay. You guys seem to be enjoying the movie reviews that we've been putting up.
A lot of fun.
They are a lot of fun for us to do, so we really like that you guys are enjoying. I think as of this recording, I think we have 4 up or 5. I think we just put up Legend of Hell House, and actually the next one we're going to do...
Next one's mine.
Yeah, we're going to do... You want to say?
No.
Okay, he's not going to say. It's going to be a surprise.
Yeah.
And let's see, what else? I think probably everybody knows by now, but audio podcast should be up on iTunes now. I'll put the new link in the description like I usually do if you still haven't found it. Because it still seems like a couple people are like, where is it? And all this other kind of stuff. It's there someplace. It's, you know. If you look on the YouTube, in the YouTube description, I usually put links at the bottom where the blog is, where the iTunes feed is. Because, like I said, it hasn't changed. It's just downloaded from a different place. That's all. Let's see. What else? Also, the 13 O'Clock in Minutes channel is still up there. The last one I put up was Creepy Twins, I think. I'm usually trying to do one of those a week or one every 2 weeks. Because, like I said, they're a lot more labor intensive than the movie reviews are. So that's why I've been getting more movie reviews up quicker than the other videos. Because the other videos take like 3 days to do.
Unseen Hand in audiobook is still selling really well. It's become a bestseller.
Yeah, and I'm still getting asked to do other shows, you know, on the strength of that.
So we got to do a show today.
Cool. Yeah, we're recording a show today.
Yeah, what's the name of that program?
Conspiranormal.
Conspiranormal, yeah.
Yeah, we're recording that today.
Yeah, when they put that up, we'll tell you guys.
Yes.
That's going to be a fun show because it's not really on a topic other than just us.
Yeah.
Us,
it's
the
kind
show.
Of about, yeah, it's kind
they
of about.
They
want to
ask
me
about Star Wars.
And they want to ask you about Star Wars because we did that show about Star Wars philosophy.
Yeah, they love Star Wars stuff.
So I can imagine that that's how that's going to go down that rabbit hole.
Yeah.
So the hour, I'm sure the hour, hour and a half is going to go by
very
fast.
I'll soak that hour up quick.
Yeah, you will. Also, don't forget that we have a Patreon at patreon.com/13oclockpodcast. I'll put a link in the description. I have been putting some extra stuff up there. The other day I put up a review of Extraordinary Tales, the animated Edgar Allan Poe anthology movie. So if you want to go read that, then go give us $1 or $5 or whatever. And then you can read all the extra stuff and listen to all our extra audio and all that other kind of stuff that's on there. It's super fun.
And don't forget to subscribe to 13 O'Clock in Minutes.
Yeah, subscribe to 13 O'Clock in Minutes. Like
that's,
the page.
That's a cool little channel that we have going.
I did say something about that.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Oh, I was probably drifting on.
See, this is why you have to listen when we're recording, because then you keep repeating what I said. I already said it right.
It just goes in one ear and out the other.
It's because it's a girl talking.
It's because it's a girl talking.
Why are seriously, you guys, we have a lot of male listeners. Why are dudes like that? Like,
because it's kind of like, you know, it kind of puts you into, kind of lulls you kind of, you know, into a certain.
Is it a womb thing? Like a mom thing? Like you're used to like women like singing you to sleep when you're
like
a baby
like
or something?
It's like that, yeah.
That's a nice way to put it. It's like, really, we just don't give a shit what you're saying, so we tune you out.
It just reduces the heart rate, you know, and you just kind of go, yeah, okay. Like, you know,
hush your bye. Yeah, okay. Anyway, that's enough of that. Oh, and Spooky Empire, we usually mention that. That's October 27th, 28th, 29th. We are actually doing the Sick and Twisted panel on Friday night, so that should be fun. I have to decide on what structure we're going to do on it. We want to do more like audience interaction.
Oh, don't forget our Patreon.
Yeah, I said that too, see?
Did you?
Yeah.
I'm still over here falling asleep. I'm just waiting to get to Elizabeth
Thanks
Bathory.
A lot. Okay. I'm just waiting. I think that's all the regular stuff. Yeah. Oh, also go check out my blog, Goddess of Hellfire. I put some new reviews up on there. I reviewed actually two Middle Eastern horror films, Baskin and Under the Shadow.
Yeah, she was telling me about
them. Both of which are actually really good. Like, yeah. I had heard a lot of good reviews of them, so I said, well, I'll just turn it into a double feature. So I watched them yesterday and reviewed them. I'm like, wow, they were excellent. Yeah. I liked them both. They were totally different. Baskin was it's very torture porny at the end, but it's like, it's surrealist. It's actually really cool. It reminded me like, kind of like a David Lynch, Dario Argento torture porn.
Yeah.
It was like that. And then the other one was kind of like The Babadook, but in Iran. You know what I mean? Yeah. So that was kind of rad. It was like a creepy ghost story. But yeah, they were both really good, so I recommend them. And I wrote a big long thing about them yesterday. So if you want to go read some horror movie reviews, then go right ahead. There's all kinds of horror reviews on there. And I think that's probably all of our usual gabbing at the beginning, right?
Okay, we got that out of the way.
So now we're going to talk about Elizabeth Bathory.
Yeah, so what have you dug up about this, Jenny?
Well,
what's true and what is not true?
Okay, now I think Elizabeth Bathory is probably, I mean, nowadays, she's probably not quite as famous as like Vlad the Impaler, but she's a similar kind of figure. And I think particularly in the gothic subculture, she's very well known, and the death metal subculture and things like that. Yeah. She's very well known and she's actually listed in no less an authority than the Guinness Book of World Records as the world's most prolific female serial killer.
If what they say is true.
But even if the most conservative estimates are true, then she still is.
Okay.
Now, I have heard everything. I think the figure that gets thrown around the most is 650 girls.
Right.
Do I think she killed 650 girls? I don't know.
Right.
The most conservative estimate I've seen, actually the official tally, I think, is 80. But I have seen estimates as low as 35. As low as 35. Right, That's still a lot of people.
Still a lot.
That's still way more than most male serial killers nowadays manage. You know,
she's an authority figure, though, so she had access to people.
Right. Now, the problem with Elizabeth Bathory, and like I said, there have been there's so much media that's based on this. Bands named after her, there's songs. I'm not sure I haven't watched American Horror Story. I know I should spank myself. But wasn't the season that had Lady Gaga on it? Well, she was a vampire, and I think she was supposed to be based on Countess Bathory, at least partially.
I didn't see it.
Yeah, that's what I heard anyway. And there have been a bunch of movies. My personal favorite. Oh, there was a Hammer one called Countess Dracula with Ingrid Pitt that was very good. But actually, my favorite one is Daughters of Darkness. That's actually my favorite one. It's not set back then. It's kind of set in the 60s or 70s or whenever the movie was made. But it's a really cool movie that's kind of based on the Countess Bathory legend. The problem with Countess Bathory is a little bit the same problem as Vlad the Impaler, although I think that there's actually more information extant about Vlad the Impaler. Like, I don't know if a lot of the records about him were destroyed, even though a similar legend sprung up about him later on. The problem with Countess Bathory is that after she died, or so they say, it became illegal to talk about her because they wanted her to be erased from history.
Yeah.
So they destroyed a lot of records about her. Now, some still survive, but not many.
Yeah, she was an embarrassment to the royal family, and so they had to get
rid
of her.
So that's kind of where we're at. So I think in the absence of any solid information about what she had actually done, I do feel like a lot of legends probably sprung up. But like I said, in a way, I kind of feel like in this situation, where there's smoke, there's fire. Yeah. You know what I mean? Even if she didn't do everything that people attribute to her, she still did a lot of bad shit, it seems like.
I think another important difference that we have to point out is that Vlad the Impaler, or Vlad Tepes, was actually a national hero of Wallachia.
Still is, yeah. Okay. There's still statues of him all over the place.
He wasn't really considered a bad guy. More like considered a badass.
Yeah.
He was fighting the Turks, and he was one of those guys that would try to win by any means necessary, and including using terror tactics. And a lot of what was said about him, you know, sitting around dining as people were being impaled, in the context of the time and in the context of the little national struggle that they were in, that would have actually been probably seen as a virtue. In other words, this dude is such a badass that he can sit there and eat while he's watching his enemies destroyed, which probably would have given a lot of his people, would have probably given him a lot of confidence. if it actually happened. Maybe that didn't happen.
Right.
That might have just been positive propaganda that he put out. War propaganda.
You know? Ironically, yeah. That's positive propaganda.
Oh,
but
yeah,
during the time.
During
it
those
been.
Times, hell yeah. What mattered was how much of a badass you were. He was on the front lines.
Right.
You know, fighting the Turks. You're talking about, you know, this is Renaissance era. It still had a lot of a Middle Ages and, you know, medieval mentality in those people. This is something that straight out of Mad Max. So you can't really judge them by modern standards. You got Vlad, who is a hero. But Elizabeth Bathory, this is not a heroic figure at all. They're clearly describing a serial killer.
Pretty much. It does
big
seem
difference.
Like, yeah.
And which would kind of explain why I think there's less information about her and more legend. Because I think they did try to erase her from history.
Yeah.
Same way they tried to erase, you know, Egyptian pharaohs at certain times, like Akhenaten. They tried to erase him from history.
It's interesting to me, though, that, I don't know, I guess because Vlad the Impaler was usually seen as doing things against their enemies, you know, that made him a heroic figure.
Yeah.
Whereas Elizabeth Bathory, one, she was a woman. Two, the fact that she wasn't so much targeting their enemies as she was just targeting her own servants. So she is not ever seen in a heroic light. I don't think.
Sometimes, you know, people will point out that Prince Vlad was nailing boyars' hats to their heads.
Or their shoes to their heads, or things like that.
Executing people for minor thievery or for petty thievery. But you have to understand, you know, the boyars were basically kind of like Saxon merchants that were sapping the national strength of Wallachia. And Wallachia seems to have kind of declined into lawlessness. So his domestic policy seemed to be one of kind of like reconstruction. Well, that means, you know, getting rid of internal enemies, even though the boyars were kind of basically foreign internal enemies, and reestablishing law and order. And I think that just all kind of added to his mojo, that he was a badass in domestic policy and he was a badass abroad.
So Elizabeth Bathory, you have to understand, when she was born in 1560. She was born into pretty much one of the wealthiest, most powerful families in the area. I mean, her family had been running shit in this area for about 300 years when she was born. The way she was raised, she was very, very educated. So it wasn't a kind of thing where, oh, she's just a girl, you know, we don't need to send her to school. We don't need, you know, she was obviously very intelligent. They taught her many languages and things of that nature. She was married off when she was 15, which wasn't unusual at the time. And when she married, her husband's name was Ferenc Nadasny. And he was actually later known as the Black Knight. And he had some kind of similar qualities to Vlad the Impaler. He went to the front lines and fought the Turks. There were legends about him that he would cut off people's heads and play kickball with them and things of that nature. So he was not a super nice guy either. Now, he was only 19 or 20 when he married her. Now, even though it was an arranged marriage, by all accounts, they did seem to really dig each other. Like, because in a way, they were both kind of psychotic. And so I guess they kind of got along on that wavelength. But when they married, their combined wealth made them actually richer than the King of Hungary. They had like 10 castles. They presided over like 17 villages. I mean, they were just like ridiculously wealthy and powerful. At first, it said that her husband also was a real strict disciplinarian with their servants, as Countess Bathory was. So the legend goes that, not that she wasn't kind of a psycho from the beginning, but that her and the husband kind of enjoyed torturing their servant girls. And then there was kind of some stories that her husband taught her some tips and stuff like that for torturing people. And
did they know this for true? Or
this,
just
like I said, okay, well, here's the thing. And that's probably not really a productive question to ask, because at this point, like I said, so much records have been lost. So much.
Right.
There's really no telling.
Right. There's no telling
what's true or not. I'm just saying, this is what a lot of the different things about her say, that she kind of got tips from her husband, and that her husband was also really strict as she was. Now, it should be said that in this time period and among the nobility, it was not unusual to beat the shit out of your servants or even torture them if they did something wrong, even if it was something minor. No one would have really thought much of it.
Right.
That they were just beating the crap out of these people. It wasn't a big deal. Because to the nobility, I mean, when you have that much money and servants are coming from all these villages you own and are essentially serfs, they're pretty much, they come with the land. You own them. You can do whatever you want with them. They're just, they're disposable, they're expendable. So it wouldn't have been strange for them to beat the shit out of their servants and things like that.
Yeah, and up the nobility was basically, they were the law of the land. They were judge, jury, and executioner. They were,
yeah,
they were,
I mean, yeah, you could kill servants with impunity and no one would say boo at you.
Right.
I mean, what are they going to do?
Right. It was within your authority.
Yeah. What are they going to do? It's like, what, are they going to move somewhere else? They didn't have any money. You know, you were kind of by the short and curlies, really. You know, if you were a serf and you lived in there and on their land, there was nothing you could do about it.
Think gangsters, basically.
Yeah, they were. That's pretty much what they were.
They were kind of like Mad Max gangsters.
Yeah. Now, her husband was gone a great deal because he was a warrior. He was usually out fighting against the Ottoman Turks and things like that. So she was left alone a lot. Now, one of the things that I think a lot of apologists for her like to point out that it's like, well, you know, she was obviously a very powerful and intelligent woman. She ran all his shit while he was gone, which, like I said, 17 villages, 10 castles. She did have her shit together. You know, no one was saying she was a dummy. No one was saying anything like that. You know, the fact that a woman was running all this kind of stuff, yeah, that's admirable for that time and place. Now, it seems like all the real bad shit. There had been rumors circulating about, not so much as like, oh, don't work for the Bathory. She actually kept her name when she got married because she was a slightly higher social status to her husband. So she didn't change her name to his. So, you know, it was just kind of a thing around the village. It was like, well, you know, it's kind of an honor to work in the castle because that's like the big thing that everybody was shooting for.
But there's probably nothing else around it.
There was probably nothing else around. But I think sometimes like the peasants of the things were kind of like, oh, I wish I didn't have to send my girls to work there because they'll get beat up and stuff like that. So I think there was a little bit of that. But like I said, there wasn't like you had a lot of choice. Like, oh, man, I'll just quit and go work at McDonald's. You know what I mean? It wasn't anything like that. There wasn't really anywhere else to go. Now, the real bad shit doesn't seem to have started until after her husband died. Now, accounts vary. Some people said he died in battle. Most accounts say he died of a long illness, which is not really specified. They just said he started losing the strength in his legs and things
now,
like that.
When he died, that would make her, what, in her 40s around the time
she was about. Now, he was only 48.
So she was in her 40s.
Yeah, he died in 1604. Now, rumors had started to circulate about her a little bit before that. Like I said, mostly that they were kind of hard asses and that maybe things were going a little bit over the top.
Yeah.
But now once her husband died, then it appears that all the stops came out. Because after that, rumors really started ramping up that she was essentially taking in girls from the village. But it was getting to the point where girls were disappearing. Girls were complaining that they had been whipped, they had been bitten. She would sometimes, some of the stories about her, she would sew people's mouths shut.
Yeah, talking too much.
I guess. You know, she would do things like strip girls naked, get them all wet, and then throw them outside in the freezing, and then watch, like, keep throwing water on them until they froze to death, covering them with honey and putting them outside and letting ants and wasps and stuff, like, sting them. It started getting around that she was just doing stuff to be sadistic.
Yeah. Now, I've also remember hearing stories that she had some kind of a finishing school for girls.
This was later. That was later.
Okay.
At this stage, it was just servants.
Okay.
Like I said, in later years, a lot of stories came out about her, like she would keep girls in cages. She would like stab them with a spear and stuff like that. You know, there was a lot of sexual stuff. Like she would do like stick shit up their vaginas and stuff like that.
Wasn't cheesecloth either. Cheesecloth up in a badge. Okay.
Watch our Legend of Hell House review for that reference.
Yeah. She didn't invent that trick.
The sad thing about the Bathory case is that like I said, if she was actually doing all this horrible shit that, because like I said, rumors about it were circulating for quite a long time before anything really got done about it. Now, if she had just kept doing this horrible shit to servant girls,
nothing would have happened to her.
Probably nothing would have happened.
It was within their power to do that.
Now, okay, there is one, I believe that this letter still exists. Like I said, I've read several accounts of this. I watched several documentaries about it and stuff like that. And, you know, even though the information is kind of like one says this, one says that, whatever, I do believe that there is a letter that still exists that was written by the head of a monastery that was across from one of her castles, because she had several. The person that wrote this letter was complaining because they said the screaming from her castle was so loud that the monks basically had to, like, bang their pots and stuff on the walls, like, to drown out the noise.
Now, this is a pretty important piece of evidence, because right. This is one of the few pieces of evidence that still survives, right?
Yeah.
This letter.
Yeah.
So we do know that there were witnesses to a bunch of screaming.
And it's interesting to me that the head of a monastery, I mean, knowing who lived in that castle.
Right.
That he would actually put his balls on the line.
Right.
In order to send a public letter saying, hey.
Something's wrong.
There's something bad going on over there. The screaming is so loud we can't take it.
Yeah. This is one of the few things in this case that kind of give credence to something bad was happening.
Yeah.
If you have people in the clergy trying to raise the alarm, hey man, that's not normal.
Yeah.
To say that these screams weren't normal for that time and place, that's pretty bad.
See, that's what I'm kind of thinking. Because
you read this book called, what was that book called about the...
Better Angels of Our Nature by Stephen Pinker.
They get all into the medieval mindset about the way people were back then. They would do horrible shit, just like it was nothing. That means that, in my mind, the church is trying to raise the alarm because there's a lot of screaming going on in there. Something really horrible going on. Because beating one of your serfs, that wouldn't even been noticed back in the day.
Yeah, nobody would have. I mean, everybody did it.
Everybody did. They beat each other.
Yeah.
You know?
See, and that's what kind of leads me to believe. Like I said, I do think a lot of the more egregious stories about her are probably exaggerated.
Yeah.
But I do think she must have been doing some bad shit for people to have even complained.
Yeah. Because back then, if you were nobility, you could basically do whatever you wanted to a serf.
Right.
It was within your authority to punish them.
And for someone...
You were the law of the land.
And for someone, I mean, even though he was in the clergy and stuff like that, and for someone to publicly come out and complain, knowing what she could do to you.
Right.
You know what I mean? So it must have been pretty bad.
Yeah. This is 1600s. And this is Eastern Europe. Eastern Europe was almost medieval even into the 1900s. There were parts of Russia that looked like medieval times, you know? So in the 1600s, it was in that area, it was pretty rough. They were used to people killing each other and suffering. So for it to raise the alarm, it would have to have been something kind of extraordinary, I would think.
Yeah. See, that's kind of where I'm... Yeah. That's where I'm at,
this
too. So that letter, like I said, it does kind of does make me think that she was
something
definitely
was going
up
on.
To something.
Yeah.
Okay, let's take a break right now, and then we'll come back and talk about, I kind of want to talk about some of the current people that are trying to say that she was totally innocent.
See, that's why I even brought that up. You know what I mean? That this is an important clue to this case. I don't think she was totally innocent, like some of these people are saying.
Yeah, I don't really think so either. No. Like I said, I think a lot of the shit about her was probably exaggerated, but she must have done something pretty bad, I thought. But anyway, okay, so we're going to take a short break right now. We'll be back in just a minute.
The Unseen Hand. A New Exploration of Poltergeist Phenomena by Jenny Ashford, author of The Rochdale Poltergeist, House of Fire and Whispers, and The Mammoth Mountain Poltergeist. The Unseen Hand is a comprehensive collection of over 100 reported poltergeist cases from the first century to the present day. All the best-known cases are presented, from the Bell Witch to Jeff the Talking Mongoose, from Rosenheim to Tina Resch, from Enfield to The Entity. A large selection of fascinating and lesser-known accounts from all over the world are also included, and all contain testimony from the most eerie and extraordinary events. The Unseen Hand is the ultimate compendium for readers interested in poltergeist disturbances throughout history and the theories behind what causes them. On sale now from Amazon in print, ebook, and audiobook formats. Go to Unseen Hand Book on Facebook and visit www.jennyashford.com for more information.
Hey, 13 O'Clock fans. Love the show but don't have an hour to spare? Check out our new list channel, 13 O'Clock in Minutes. All the fun, creepy topics of the main podcast, but in easy-to-swallow, bite-sized pieces. Links in the description. More videos to come soon.
There are terrors, real and imaginary, and I write about them all. Paranormal nonfiction, horror fiction, the Rochdale Poltergeist, the Mammoth Mountain Poltergeist, the Associated Full Monsters, Red Menace, the Tenebrous Bellwether. Go to www.jennyashford.com or search Amazon for the Jenny Ashford author page.
Okay, probably, and you know, I probably should have mentioned this at the beginning, but one of the most famous stories about Elizabeth Bathory was that she enjoyed bathing in the blood of virgins.
Yeah.
That she would basically, like, hang these girls over the bathtub and drain all their blood into the tub, and she would bathe in it because she thought it made her look younger. Like, she was trying to retain her youth.
Only if they were virgins, though.
Yeah, well, like, she's like, well, I have to check, you know, spread it like that. But, yeah, here's the thing.
I bet back in those days, a virgin was, what, 8 years old?
Well, they would have had to have been. I mean, they married off so young. Yeah. It's kind of like the story goes that how she started doing that was that a servant girl was brushing her hair and hit a knot and like pulled her hair a little bit too hard. So Countess Bathory whipped around and punched her in the face, and the girl's nose started to bleed and it bled onto her hand. And then when Elizabeth wiped the blood off, she's like, hey, my hand looks so young. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like Palmolive, like Madge, if you guys remember that commercial. No, I'm old. Well, how you would notice one spot on your hand looking younger than the surrounding hand? That sounds very legend to me. Yeah, that sounds like a legend.
That whole thing.
But so that story said, oh, well, she figured, hey, if it makes this little spot on my hand look this much younger, then imagine if I soaked in a whole tub of it.
Yeah.
So, but it should be noted that the story about bathing in blood, that didn't come out, that wasn't published until 1729, which was more than 100 years after she was dead.
There are too many elements that sound like a myth.
Right. And really, could you really bathe in blood? I mean, coagulate?
And there's not a whole lot of blood in a human body. What is it, but 2 gallons? 2 gallons, maybe?
Something like that, yeah.
Not a whole lot of it.
Not really. Yeah, you would need to kill a lot of people.
Yeah, and...
And like I said, it would start... By the time you drained that many people to fill up a tub, it would have started to get sticky and gross.
Yeah, I don't think... It's made up.
So, yeah, I definitely think that story was made up. Because by the time that story came out about her, you know, there was all this other stuff about Vlad the Impaler, and oh, he's a vampire, and she's a vampire, we're all a vampire, you know what I mean? It was kind of like that type of shit. So I kind of feel like it kind of got involved with all the vampire myths that were kind of coming out around that time also. But some of the lesser things, like, you know, sewing people's mouths shut, biting them, you know, taking chunks out of their flesh, you know, she would burn them with pokers and, you know, stick pokers up their vaginas and stuff like that. Did she do that? Maybe. That doesn't sound that crazy. And it sounds like some of the torture methods that were around at the time. So it wasn't like she wouldn't have thought of it.
Right.
You know.
If it was happening, though, that's the thing.
If it was.
Yeah.
Now, like I said, rumors started to circulate around about her, like, in the early 1600s, like 1602, right around then. Now, her husband died in 1604, and then the rumors really started circulating. But really, no one did anything until 1610. And the reason that most scholars give for why suddenly everyone gave a shit was that she started a finishing school, like you said, at one of her castles, allegedly. I don't know if she had gotten to the point where, hey, I'm running out of peasants.
Right.
Because, like, no one wants to come work for me now because they've heard about it. You know, or she'd killed them all. But she made the rather boneheaded move of saying, oh, well, I'm going to open up a finishing school, like, for girls to come and find out how to be all fancy and refined and everything like that. And then I'll start killing those chicks. So evidently, once she started going after the daughters of the landed gentry and other lesser nobility and stuff like that, then suddenly everybody cared.
Right.
There's also a story that she went one night to an opera or to a play or something like that and saw a woman singing, and she was so enchanted by this woman that she invited the woman back to the castle. The woman was understandably very nervous. Mm-hmm. And Countess Bathory was like, oh, I want you to sing for me. And the woman was so nervous that she couldn't sing because it was Elizabeth Bathory. She was like, you know, but so of course that made Elizabeth mad, and she tortured and killed the woman.
Sounds like a legend.
So that might be a legend too, because I really only saw that in one or two sources. Once she started going after, like, quote unquote, important people that weren't servants or serfs, then people started to complain. Now, it was 1610 before Palatine Terzo, who was actually a friend of her husband's and was kind of up in all the nobility and everything like that, he was the one that kind of investigated the whole thing. Now, the story goes that he went to her castle with a few other of his men, and it was supposedly a surprise visit. He didn't say he was coming or anything like that. Now, he says when he got there, that they found 9 dead girls in various states of torture and things of that. So he said some of them were burned, some of them had bites taken out of them, things like that.
I think they were in cages too, huh?
Yeah, I don't know if he said that, because I think the only thing that survives, the trial records do survive, like all the witness accounts against her. One of his letters survives that he wrote to his wife. I don't remember if he specifically said in that letter that he found girls in cages, but I think he did say that he found 9 dead girls and some that were dying.
Right.
Like I said, some of the legends said that he caught her in the act, but I don't think that's the case. Like the letter doesn't really sound like that. Some also later accounts said that they came in and it was just bodies everywhere. Like she would keep them under her bed and keep feeding them even though they were dead and things like that. So so I don't know if that's true or not. But that was another one of the legends that kind of sprung up about her. What ended up happening was that Terzo was able to round up, they say, 300 witnesses that were willing to say this, that, and the other about what Countess Bathory was up to. I don't know how many of these people had direct access to the castle. Like, I don't know how many of them had actually worked there or had actually been inside. It could just have been mostly people from around the village who had heard some shit. Right. I don't know.
And the way they conducted investigations and trials back then was hokey. Very hokey.
And it's like another problem too is that now Countess Bathory was never really put on trial. I mean, she was a member of the nobility. She was very, very powerful. The king of Hungary owed her money.
Right.
You know what I mean? Because she had more money than him.
Right.
So they couldn't really put her on trial because it was an embarrassment, like you said, to all of the nobility and everything like that. What they ended up doing, and I thought this was funny, one of the researchers, he wrote a book on Vlad the Impaler too. I know it's McNally or something like that. I'd have to look it up. He said they did what they called the hors d'oeuvre strategy, where it's like they go after the little fish because they couldn't get the big one. So who ended up going on trial was her supposed accomplices, were 4 of her elder servants. And it was 3 older women and a man. I think he was a little person. And these 3 confessed to helping her do all these horrible things. However, these confessions were extracted under torture.
Now, do we have access to the actual confessions?
They
word
are.
For word, are they out there?
They're out there. I mean, I can't read them because they're not in English, but they are out there. They're, like I said, some of the papers do exist.
I wonder if they corroborate each other.
I don't know.
Or, you know, because that'd be interesting, is to actually read them in their original language.
Yeah.
And see if they support one another.
Right.
Because sometimes, you know, false confessions are impossible because there's too many contradictions. But, you know, I mean, you have 4 different people, each one of them giving a false confession. They contradict one another.
Right.
And make certain things impossible.
Yeah.
I would love to be able to read, was it archaic Romanian is probably what it was written in, and you can get your hands on it. You could probably figure it out. Although I'm sure countless people have looked at them.
Yeah. And like I said, even some of the documentaries I saw, like they allow the people, like you can't take the papers, obviously, because they're valuable, but you can go and look at them. So 4 people that they tortured and they got the stories and they said, yeah, we helped her do all this horrible stuff. 2 of the women, for sure, one, they pulled either their fingernails or their fingers off with pinchers and then chucked them onto a fire alive.
Yeah.
The dwarf guy.
They checked the people or the fingers?
The people.
Okay.
The dwarf guy, they were a little nicer to him. They just cut his head off.
Yeah.
And then threw him in the fire. The fourth lady, I'm not entirely sure what happened to her. I don't know if they killed her too or if she got off with it or anything like that.
I remember them being described basically as just old hags.
Well, 3 of them were old women, yeah.
Yeah, that she kept around. They were like old peasant hags that would do her bidding for her.
Yeah. So like I said, she never really stood trial. She never spoke in her defense.
Right.
Because, I guess she didn't do that back then. And like I said, she was super powerful. They said, well, we have to do something to her. So basically what they did was they walled her up in a room of her own castle and just house arrest, pretty much. And they just left a slit where they could put food in and stuff like that. And she was in there for almost 4 years before she died. She was 54 when she died.
Now, before we move on, the confessions. In the confessions, what do the confessions say about the number of victims and what happened to them and the motive?
Okay, now, I don't know if those particular people said how many people she killed.
Okay.
The commonly thrown around figure of 650 girls comes from another servant, a younger girl, and her name was Susanna. They never give her last name. And she says that Countess Bathory had a diary where she wrote down the names of every girl that she killed. Why would she do that? I don't know.
Yeah, it sounds fishy.
And she said, this servant girl said there were 650 names in there.
And that servant girl, was she charged also and
no,
killed?
Okay. No, she wasn't one of the ones that was charged. She was just one of the ones. She's
possibly a victim.
She might have been, yeah. Right. It should be noted that this diary has never been found.
Okay.
It seems odd that if Countess Bathory was indeed doing all this to all these girls, why would she care what their names were? Why would she care about keeping track of them? What, you know, maybe she would, maybe she...
Maybe like a serial killer, you know, trophies.
Maybe it was. So it's possible that this diary does exist. It's possible that she killed 650 people. I kind of doubt it, but I don't know. I feel like 650 is too pat a number. I'm not saying she didn't kill a shit ton of people, because she probably did. I don't know if it was 650, though. Because, like I said, that's the only place that that number comes from, is this girl saying, oh, she had a book that had 650 names in it. I mean, did this girl sit there and count every single name that was in the book?
And how would she have had access to it?
How would she have had access to it? How would she have known how many names were in there?
Unless maybe Elizabeth told her that.
Yeah, that could be the case.
We say Elizabeth, actually, I've seen her name written. It's actually Erzabeth.
Well, yeah. Well, Elizabeth is just the anglicized version of Erzabeth. Yeah, that's her actual name. Okay, so the problem being, like I said, after she was walled up, after she died, apparently her crimes and things like that were so embarrassing that they tried to erase her from history. They did not entirely succeed, obviously. And her name still kind of resonated, and all these legends started springing up about her, which is why no one can really figure out what she did. Now, in recent years, and it's not just Hungarians either, some apologists have sprung up who are trying to basically insist that Countess Bathory was entirely innocent, or that she was framed or set up.
Try to get her wealth.
Right. Now, there is some evidence to support that, because...
things like that did happen before.
Things like that did happen. And they're saying, you know, this was still an age of witch hunts.
Yeah.
Women who were widowed, particularly powerful women who had a lot of power and land and money, they were targets because they were seen, since they were women without husbands, they were seen as vulnerable. So, you know, people...
They didn't want a woman getting out of hand.
Right.
Too much power.
So there was, you know, kind of a precedent for, you know, males doing some kind of machinations like around them where they would like make up stories, oh, she's a witch or something like that. Or something like that, so they could get her shit.
Right.
Now, it should be noted that after she died, all of her property and wealth and stuff like that was broken up between various relatives and stuff like that who had kind of conspired with, you know, with Terzo. And there is some evidence that Terzo, the guy that went after her, was kind of planning to go after her before all the hubbub started. Like, there are little hints in some letters that he wrote, like, a couple years before the charges were brought, that sort of could be read to say that he was going to think of something.
Yeah, I thought of this.
To bring her down.
I thought about this, but you know what? If she was guilty, the same thing would have happened.
Right.
It's hard to tell.
Yeah.
If she was innocent, they would have framed her. But if she was guilty, they still would have took all her stuff, too. So just because they took all her stuff doesn't mean
that
they framed her.
Exactly. And that is exactly the next point I was going to make.
Right.
It's like, maybe, I mean, the fact that she seemed like she was kind of a psychopath, maybe that just helped them. It made it easier for them. Because there was already, like I said, there was already stories circulating about her many, many years before anything was done about
her. I think that's more likely. Because remember, the clergy was trying to raise warning about her, that screaming, you know, that was happening in there. I think she was psycho. Probably just real abusive, you know, sadistic. And they wanted her shit, and they made sure they got it.
And like I said, she almost kind of inadvertently helped them out.
Right. By giving them an excuse.
To go after her.
And
so,
then they probably blew a lot of what she did out of proportion.
Right.
But I guarantee you, she was torturing people under the old kind of medieval standards, which that'd be pretty bad.
Yeah.
What they did to people back then. Like I said, they'd pull their fingers off with hot pinchers and shit during questioning.
Yeah, like the torture they did during her trial, ironically, was just as bad as shit they said she did.
She was doing,
But I guess that didn't really register.
Now, the question is whether was she a serial killer? And here's the weird thing. What makes the forces that create a serial killer today? I don't think that those actually existed back then. What creates a serial killer today is mostly men. And society has to be a certain way to create a serial killer. And I think it was so primitive back then, I don't think it would manifest itself in the same way. I think it
in
would
a
just
way,
be,
she's almost kind of like she's really one of the, if she did do everything they said, yeah, she's almost kind of like one of the earliest, like, modern type serial killers.
If sex was the motive, it has to be a sexual motive to be a serial killer.
I think it might have been.
Defined.
Could have been. Now, it should be noted that...
Is this like basically medieval BDSM? You know, is that what
well,
this
some
is?
Well, some of the stuff kind of reads
it
like
sounds
that,
like that,
to
yeah,
be honest with you. Like, some of the charges levied against her do sound very much right, like that.
It was with...
Only with unwilling participants.
Yeah, but punishing people beneath you was one of their responsibilities. They were supposed to do that.
Yeah.
To keep them in line, because they were the law of the land, yeah, literally. They were judge, jury, and executioner. So they had to dole out punishment to
right,
people who did wrong or messed up. But maybe it gets to a point where you start enjoying doling out that punishment.
That's what I think
and
occurred
then it just starts
in this case,
building up, and you become a real fucking sadistic psycho. That's probably what happened.
Because like I said, when her husband was alive, you know, they did kind of have a reputation for beating up their servants and everything like that. They had a reputation for being strict, but nothing crazy, like nothing that yeah, would cause people to be like, fuck that. I'm not right, working in that castle.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it was overly strict, but not unusual for the time. It really seems like once her husband died, and her husband kind of seemed to get off on it too a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, as little as we know about him. You know, he wasn't really vilified for that because right, he was a man and that's just what they did. I feel like, and I've seen a couple other scholars point this out, you know, they said that the stories about her bathing in virgin blood and blah de blah that came out later, they said those stories might have come out not only in the absence of any actual evidence about what she did, but also because it was very hard for people back then to picture a woman as a sexual sadist.
Yeah.
So they said they had to give her some reason. It was her vanity.
Right.
That she had to bathe in blood so she could keep young. Like, she had to have a reason for killing all these people. It couldn't just be because she got off on it.
Right, yeah.
Because they said, oh, well, women aren't like that.
That concept of getting off on doing something may have not have been a concept
maybe not,
back in those days.
Maybe not. Well, that's another thing that's kind of hard to, because we're kind of taking our modern sensibilities
right,
and trying to force it back on people who might not think, I mean, they obviously didn't think the same way.
Yeah. Now, 1600s is not the medieval period.
No.
But in Eastern Europe, it was still still
right,
basically medieval society.
Yeah.
The mentality was not enlightened.
Right.
They were mean. And even in the West, you know, the British royal family, they were recorded as doing some pretty bad shit.
Right.
To each other. They would kill their own family members and bury the kids inside castle
yeah,
walls.
And it's like, it's almost like it wasn't really accepted. That's not really the right word, but it was expected, I guess, is more. Like, if
yeah,
people did it, everybody would be like, well, shit happens.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It seemed like that.
Well, these
like, it wasn't good, but they didn't really do much of anything about it.
You don't want to take these royal families and, you know, put them too much on a pedestal. I mean, these are basically crime families.
Essentially.
They're basically mafias.
Yeah, essentially.
And, you know,
and particularly so back then.
Yeah.
It's kind of a thing, and kind of going back
They're like the drug cartels.
Yeah.
You know.
I mean, going back to what you were saying before about them maybe not having a concept of serial killers or them, the culture not really creating serial killers, it should be noted there are precedents in her family.
Yeah.
A few of her relatives, because like I said, she had a lot of relatives that were princes and kings and things like that. There was some madness that ran in her family because
yeah,
of inbreeding. It happened a lot in royal families. And also, there is a story that the way she was brought up might have contributed. I mean, there's a very famous story about her going around that when she was 6 years old, because her father, who was supposedly kind of a badass who tortured and beat people and stuff like that, that when she was 6 years old, her father took her and showed her a gypsy who had, I don't know if he had poached on their land or he had stolen something or something like that. And her dad had the gypsy sewn into the belly of a dying horse.
What?
and just left both the horse and the gypsy there. And it took them a while to die.
Weird.
And he kept bringing Elizabeth back every day and saying, like, this is what happens to bad people. Kind of thing.
If it's true.
If it's true. That's, like I said, yeah. It could be an apocryphal story. But apparently, that kind of shit was very common. So if she'd have seen that when she was 6 years old and she was already kind of inclined toward that sort of thing, then maybe, she could have grown up and been totally messed up.
These people had no concept of psychology either. And the effect, you know what I mean, psychological effects of things. They just weren't like that. You know, that's why I don't even think that they really had a concept of, I'm going to do this and get off on it. I think each one of them lived in their own little internal world.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And they probably didn't seem to be the kind of people that would discuss their feelings and their motives for doing things.
Right.
So they probably thought that only they did that kind of stuff.
Yeah, it could be.
Because everything was done in kind of like the church was very powerful, so everything was kind of like painted in a religious tone. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah. Now I'm kind of curious.
I think one of their most complicated books was the Bible. There's really not a whole lot to the Bible.
Yeah.
You know, so I don't think they really understood the world and reality too well.
Well, you didn't really, I mean, it wasn't like now where, you know, you can travel very easily and you can read whatever you want to read online from anywhere
there
in the world.
There was no Google.
Yeah. Right. Ye old Google.
Right.
But it wasn't a case. So maybe, like you said, maybe people were more.
They were animalistic, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah. So I wonder if it would have occurred to her that what she was doing was bad, or if she had just been, I mean, the environment she was raised in, she had so much money and power and stuff like that, that she could pretty much do whatever she wanted to. And actually, you know, as long as she was killing the servant girls, no one did anything about it. So she probably just thought, whatever. She probably didn't think it was bad at all. She just thought, well, I like it, so.
Yeah, and maybe didn't even really question why she was being gratified by this.
Maybe she didn't.
Yeah, that's a modern concept of gratification. I don't think.
I mean, I definitely think because.
She probably just saw it as her doing her duty.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is what I'm supposed to do.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah. And like I said, no one's stopping her. So it's not like, you know, is there value in maybe looking at her story and trying to psychoanalyze her? Sure. I mean, it's interesting. We're never going to know because she's long dead, obviously.
Yeah.
Like what she would have thought of her motives, or if she even thought about it, if she just did it because it was something she enjoyed and no one stopped her.
Well, here's another thing, though, is that she evidently, according to the investigators, made attempts to kind of hide it a little bit, at least from other nobles, what she was doing.
True.
It was happening on her, behind her walls.
Yeah, it wasn't
evidently
like she was
the bodies were she. Oh, evidently the bodies were just there to be seen too. Which
well, now a lot of them she did bury them.
Yeah.
But I heard, like I said, and it's so hard to know like how much is legend and how much is not. I think at first she did try to bury them around the castle, and then like the story goes that there were eventually so many bodies she was like running out of room, and so she took to just kind of like throwing them out the windows, which I don't know. Or she just kept him in the house. Yeah. So it's like, I don't know how true a lot of that is. Because, I mean, as big as her castles are, and some of them still stand, at least the ruins of them, and, you know, you can see pictures of them if you Google them, but maybe they were just used to dead bodies being around, everything stinking and everything like that.
I don't think so.
But it really does seem weird that she would just kind of, like, leave bodies laying around.
If you look at the...
She did, though.
If you look at the paintings of her, actual paintings of her from those...
Yeah.
From her time... She looked like a little bitty woman.
She did,
She didn't look like a...
I mean, there is a portrait of her. I'll put one that was painted in 1585, I believe. Now, some of the ones that are supposed to be of her, they're not sure if they're of her.
Yeah.
Because, you know, at this point, it's hard to tell. But this one that was painted in 1585, they said that's probably her because other portraits of other Habsburg family members, people who are related to her, they said, you know, that's a very distinctive nose and the distinctive ears and stuff like that. So that is probably her. But now some of the portraits that they're not sure if it's her or not.
The one that I saw, she kind of had a little heart-shaped face.
Yeah.
With, like you said, I think little ears and
big
brown eyes. And she just...
And she has kind of a big, long nose.
I mean, it's not really she's not really well drawn.
Yeah, actually, the 1585 portrait, it's not a great
portrait.
It's
not really a great
portrait. Honestly.
But it looks like they're trying to paint someone who's, you know, 5 feet tall, maybe.
Yeah.
4'11". It looks like a little bitty person.
Yeah. And, I mean, I should note, too, that despite all the shit about her, she was actually able to marry off her daughters. I mean, because I didn't mention that. She had kids four of them. Some people think maybe she had a fifth one when she was a kid that nobody knew about, like that was kind of a bastard and stuff, but I don't know. That's not really verified. But she had four for sure. She was able to marry her two daughters off very successfully, like to others. So it wasn't like other noble families were like, get away from me, you know what I mean? I don't know. It doesn't really seem like she was super vilified in the nobility even, but maybe she married the daughters off and she was apparently a super good mother. I mean, apparently she loved the shit out of her kids. They still have some letters of hers where she talks about her kids and apparently she was super into them and she loved
them. Well, they had serial killers that were super into their families.
That's what I mean.
Too, so.
And yeah, that's the thing. It's like, you know, Hitler loved his dog, didn't he? Yeah. So, you know, that doesn't really say anything. Now, a few letters of hers that do survive, I don't believe she mentions anything about, hey, murdered some servant girls today. Because why would you put that in the letter, really? But the tone of her letters does seem like someone who is very take no shit. She's very no nonsense.
Right.
This is the way it's going to be. And blah, blah, blah. You know, she was very much like that. She ran a big, huge empire.
You know what? That could lend some credence to the other story that she was set up. Could be that she was one of the richest people around. She was more rich. She was richer than the king.
Yeah.
And maybe she was pretty smart. And she was starting to get too powerful. And they had to take her out. And maybe she was abusive towards her servants. So they used that as an excuse. Maybe the abuse wasn't as bad as they said.
See, yeah, that is a possibility. I'm not saying that she wasn't...
Might have been just standard punishment for the time.
Right. Which is not good, but I mean, it wasn't unusual for the time. Maybe she just beat the shit out of her servants like everyone else
did. Like everybody else did. And they turned it into a thing.
Right, but the fact that... And if she was disliked in the villages, excuse me, then, I mean, I don't think they would have had a hard time drumming up peasants from the village who wanted to kind of take her out because they didn't like her.
Right.
You know, because maybe she was kind of a bitch. On the other hand, I should say that there's still existing church records from the areas at that time that do show an unusual amount of young girls dying.
Okay.
In the area.
All right.
Because here's the thing, whether they died of natural causes or whether she was just taking them.
Right.
There were rumors that she was kidnapping the girls or luring them there with work or with her school or whatever and then taking them out.
She must have been.
Yeah.
She must have been.
Now, the silliest thing, and I should mention this before we end the show, the silliest thing that I've heard from people that think that she was completely innocent, which I do not buy. Like I said, I can buy that maybe people exaggerated things to get her shit and things like that. That's totally plausible. Do I think she was totally innocent? Hell no. You know, she probably did enough horrible shit that you don't even have to exaggerate shit. But some people have gone so far as to say... Oh, well, all the girls that died in the area, or all the dead girls that they found when they came to investigate, they either died of natural causes or they died because Elizabeth was trying to help them. Like, they're trying to paint her as some kind of like a wise woman, like she knew healing practices and stuff like that. Like, I saw one guy who thinks she didn't do anything. And he pointed out that this one implement that... is usually portrayed as her using it to like burn girls like in a torture kind of fashion. He said, well, this implement was actually used to cauterize wounds. It wasn't, you know what I mean?
Right.
So it's like, it's possible that she could have been trying to help them, like if they had a wound or something like that. But the thing is, there were so many other rumors circulating about it. There's just had to be something to it.
Right.
I mean, like you said, particularly from that time period when everyone was violent, everyone was beating their servants, everybody was doing that kind of thing. For all these rumors to start circulating about her in particular, she must have been doing something above and beyond what was normal for the time. That's kind of how I feel about it.
And according to the things that you told me in that book about the medieval period and the mentality of the time, these are the kind of people that would walk down the street with you and they'd see like a dead cat and they'd pick it up, sniff it, and then make you sniff it. You know what I mean?
And they
would just take a dump wherever they were at the time, and they were dirty, and they were like feral people.
That's kind of like people nowadays that like taste something that's gone bad and they're like, ew, this has gone bad. Here, taste it. I'm like, I want to taste it.
I think the reason why nobility was so cruel to them is because serfs in the lower classes, they were probably damn near feral. They were probably pretty bad, too.
Well, everyone kind of sucked back then. Yeah, really. I think mean, at the time. Bad. But like I said, you know, Elizabeth Bathory did, you know, a lot of the stuff about her, it's probably exaggerated, but I think she probably did kill. Did she kill 650 girls? I don't know. But I do feel like...
Another thing you have to remember is that these nobles were not enlightened people. If you were to meet them today, they just would have been dirtbags.
Yeah.
By today's standards. Peasants were probably savages.
It was really not a time I would care to go back to in a time machine, if I ever invented one.
Modern people today, when you think of the medieval periods and, you know, Renaissance type, 1600s, well, that's kind of confusing because it wasn't uniform. Europe was different, you know, Western Europe and Eastern Europe and everything was different, but it wasn't what you saw at a Disneyland and magic castles and princesses. They weren't like that.
Well, even like a Renfest or anything like that. Yeah. It's like... It's fun to dress up like that and, you know, now that we have modern sensibilities and modern hygiene and things of that nature, but
who knows how these people's brains developed back then in that environment, in that culture, with that little knowledge that they had. And
plus, I feel like a lot of their brains were probably pickled because then they start drinking alcohol when they were super young and they like killed all their brain cells.
Yeah. They didn't live long. They didn't live long either.
Yeah, they're all like riddled with pox and things like that. I'm like, no thanks. I don't think I would want to go back to that time period.
And they all had lice.
Yeah. And even the rich ones.
Yeah.
You know.
And they didn't bathe.
Well, no. Uh-huh. That's not even, they didn't bathe. They didn't really have toilets. They didn't have flush toilets.
No toilet paper.
You're grossing yourself out again.
I'm going to walk it off.
I know. Why do you keep it off? See, that was your fault that time. That was your fault. All right, so that's our rambling discussion about Elizabeth Bathory. Did we come to any conclusions?
I don't even think you told them how she died. They walled her up. Okay.
Yeah.
They walled her up. But she didn't die of starvation, though. I think she just got sick and died.
Yeah, she just got sick and died. I don't even know if they know what it was that killed her. The story goes that the jailer came one night to bring her food, and she said, "Oh, I'm really cold," or something like that. And then they came the next day, and she was laying there dead, face down. So she just died of some disease. She was only 54, but you know she'd been old back in those days. Yeah, she'd been in there almost 4 years.
4 years
in that one.
That's
room.
Not very long. No, that room was probably pretty big.
You know, the living situation back then wasn't that great anyway. So
yeah, there's nowhere to go.
So it's probably not like it probably wasn't that big a deal. She's like, "Oh, just sit in this wrong room, okay?"
Yeah, it's not like you're going down to the club,
right?
Damn. I'm missing out.
What do you mean I can't go to Walmart?
Yeah.
But, so. If you like the show, please like, subscribe. Also, go subscribe to our 13 O'Clock in Minutes channel, if you would. And also, check out our Patreon at patreon.com/13OClockPodcast. There's a bunch of cool extra shit on there you can get if you support us. And we also have t-shirts at www.zazzle.com/13OClock. We still have the 5 designs if you want to check one of those out. And go follow us on Twitter and go like our Facebook page. And I think that'll do it for episode 53. See you next Tuesday. Bye. Elizabeth, tvá krvavá cesta Bohu hříchem se zdá. Elizabeth, jsi hledaná, milovaná. Elizabeth, tvá krvavá cesta Bohu hříchem se zdá. Elizabeth, jsi hledaná.